Now, two things most of us know about climate change is that A, through the burning of fossil fuels, whether in our cars, for heating, or for electricity production, we are collectively releasing huge quantities of carbon dioxide gas each year. And that B, this gas is contributing to the greenhouse effect, heating the Earth and increasing global temperatures. But what else can science tell us about climate change, about where we're currently at, what changes we're seeing, and where we might be headed? How do scientists study the problem, and how much can they tell us about the future? Well, to speak about this and other questions, we decided to call up Michael Mann, one of the most respected climate scientists in the world. He's the author of more than 180 peer-reviewed and edited publications, and was the lead author on one of the chapters for the third United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report, which was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. As a scientist, Michael Mann is perhaps best known for his work in reconstructing temperatures of past centuries, before accurate human thermometer measurements were available, by using data collected from the environment, such as tree rings and ice cores. This pioneering work led to the famous hockey stick graph, which showed global temperatures over the course of the last millennium and demonstrated how rapidly the climate started to warm with the onset of the Industrial Revolution. The graph and its findings were featured widely in the third UN report on climate change, and the results have since been corroborated by many further studies. Michael Mann is a distinguished professor of meteorology at Penn State University, where he's also the director of the Earth System Science Center. I reached Professor Mann by Skype. Michael Mann, welcome to The Elephant.
Thanks, it's good to be with you.
Now, you're one of the leading scientists within climate change. And for our audience, I kind of wanted to just get an overview, like at a really basic level, say a human adult who was frozen in time woke up in 2015, or you had to explain to an interested anthropologist from Mars the problem of climate change and what we know, what the science tells us. How would you explain it to them?
Sure. Well, what I would say is the greenhouse effect, which is at the core of human-caused global warming and climate change. This isn't controversial science. We've known about it for two centuries. And since you mentioned Mars, whether it's Mars or Venus or any of the other planets in our solar system, we would not be able to explain the climates on those planets as well as we can if it were not for our understanding of the greenhouse effect. So the scientific basics behind climate change are very fundamental. They're very clear. They're not debated seriously within the scientific community. The fact that the globe is warming as a result of these increasing greenhouse gas concentrations from fossil fuel burning, that is not contested within the world scientific community, nor is the fact that this represents a threat already, and it will represent an even greater threat to our environment, to society, to civilization, if we do nothing to deal with the problem of ongoing burning of carbon and these growing levels of greenhouse gas concentrations.
You know, the concentration of greenhouse gases of carbon dioxide is currently at above 400 parts per million. Can you put that into context? What does that mean in terms of both the outcomes and looking back at human history and past eras?
Yeah. So the fact that we've now crossed 400 parts per million CO2 in the atmosphere, we have fairly strong evidence that we have not seen CO2 concentrations that high in literally millions of years. So we have to go back in time well past the dawn of human civilization to find greenhouse gas concentrations that were anywhere near that high, probably, again, 3, 4, maybe 5 million years. That drives home the fact that we are engaged in an unprecedented and uncontrolled experiment with the one planet that we know can support life. And that's a very dangerous thing to be doing. You know, the fact that CO2 concentrations are increasing so rapidly is really the problem. There's no question that there have been times in Earth's deep geological past, say 100 million years ago during the early Cretaceous period, we know CO2 concentrations, greenhouse gas concentrations, were higher at that time. But those long-term variations in the concentrations of these gases took place on timescales of 100 million years. We are making similar increases in the concentrations of these gases on a time scale of 100 years, a million times faster. And that's really the problem. We are raising the concentration of greenhouse gases and warming the planet and changing the climate at a far faster rate than human beings or living things have ever had to deal with in the past. And there's no reason to believe that we have the adaptive capacity to deal with changes that continue to take place that rapidly.
Now, one of the things that you're best known for is sort of projecting temperatures back into the past, sort of looking at the record and then building them up to today to track the temperature increases we're seeing as a result of the carbon dioxide buildup in the atmosphere. Can you explain just like at a fundamental level, like how do you actually do that? What sort of tools or data points do you use to try to figure out what temperatures were in the past?
Sure. So I think you're alluding to the so-called hockey stick curve, which is this curve that my co-authors and I published a decade and a half ago. It became somewhat iconic in the climate change debate because, you know, you didn't need to understand the complicated physics of how the climate system works or how a climate model works to understand what this graphic was telling us, that the changes that we're seeing today in temperature are unprecedented as far back as we can go. And by implication, it probably has something to do with human activity. But this graph is based on using information like tree rings and corals and ice cores, natural archives that tell us something about how the climate changed in the deep past. We can take these so-called proxy records and piece together a picture of how the climate varied prior to the relatively brief interval in time, really only about the past century, where we have widespread human observations, widespread thermometer measurements, widespread instrumental data. If we want to get a sense of how unusual the warming we've seen over the past century really is, we need to extend the record back in time using these sorts of data. And back in the late 1990s, my co-authors and I published an attempt to extend the record of the average temperature over the Northern Hemisphere back initially 6 centuries and eventually back 1,000 years. And what that record shows is that there were some temperature changes prior to the Industrial Revolution. Temperatures were relatively moderate, warm, 1,000 years ago for the Northern Hemisphere on the whole, and they declined in subsequent centuries as we entered into the so-called Little Ice Age. But then when we get to 1800 or so, when we get to the beginning of the 19th century, temperatures begin to spike upward. And indeed, by the end of the 20th century, they reach levels that are unprecedented over the entire length of the record. And so if you imagine this curve, it looks a little bit like a so-called hockey stick. It's a long handle, gently sloping downward, followed by a very rapid upward spike, if you like, the blade of the hockey stick. And so the curve got that name. This placed me and my co-authors sort of in the center of the climate change debate because it became such an iconic result. And critics who want to try to discredit the science of climate change have been trying to tear this graph down for years by attacking me, by attacking my co-authors. But in fact, what we now have is a veritable hockey league, if you will, because there are dozens of studies now that come to precisely the same conclusion. And the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has come to the same conclusion. So this really now appears to be a widely accepted result, but it's just one piece of the puzzle. You could get rid of the hockey stick. You could get rid of the entire so-called hockey team, if you like, all of these paleoclimate reconstructions, and we would still have many different independent, solid pieces of evidence that point to the fact that the globe is warming, the climate is changing, human activity is responsible for it, and it's already a problem, and it will become a worse problem if we ignore it.
And what are some of those other signals?
So, you know, when we talk about global warming, we're really referring to the warming of surface temperatures, but that's just one diagnostic, if you like, just one measure, one metric of human-caused climate change. Because with these increasing greenhouse gas concentrations, along with the warming of the surface, we have that warmth penetrating down into the oceans, where it is causing the oceans to expand, contributing to sea level rise, combined with the melting of ice sheets and glaciers, and that meltwater runs off into the ocean, and that further raises sea level. So we have global sea level rise is another metric of climate change. Then we have shifting patterns of winds and oceans. And my co-author, Stefan Rahmstorf of the University of Potsdam, And I and a number of other scientists published an article in the journal Nature Climate Change a few months ago showing that the so-called conveyor belt ocean circulation that warms the North Atlantic to some